Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Top Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody, hello and welcome to this week's episode of Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoop.
Ho!
And Johnson.
Lawnmowers, Guido.
You got some background lawnmowers in the house.
It's lawn mowing time.
Scoot's yelling really loud.
Scoot's blowing his mic out.
Well, I know. I enjoyed when I yelled the peanut butter thing just because that was random and hilarious.
You enjoyed, but tonight you just
I couldn't think of anything
noise.
Hilarious, so I just went with I went with like a Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah, okay.
Thundercats.
Thundercats. Yeah, I don't know.
So guys, I think we're on the precipice of there not being any college football this fall. I'm actually at a point now where I'm starting to get very nervous.
Now.
I thought in June, I was like, maybe this is really happening. Like, maybe these kids are all going back to campus. They've got their, workouts they can do. They're having meetings with their coaches. And then Big Ten last week says, hey, guys, we're only going to play conference teams. So there went one of the WVU scheduled games.
Yeah, and who knew that COVID only spread through non-conference games?
Yeah, so can you explain that to me? Like, what is playing conference? What's the advantage to that?
I think it's like Scoot said last, I think maybe on our last live show, Scoot brought that up, and I think he's probably right. We were surmising that it probably has to do with everything falling under the same scope of control. Mm-hmm. And I think, don't you still think that's the case, Scoot, that at least if you're,
like-minded universities.
And you've got everyone at least rowing the boat, in the same direction. If you've got non-conference games.
Yeah, like if WVU says, this is what we're doing with our students on campus, they're going to have a better chance to maybe communicate with Texas or Oklahoma as opposed to some of these, Florida State or Maryland.
I guess what I'm getting at is, so now you've got the Pac-12 and the Big Ten have said, we're only going to play conference foes now. We're not playing anybody outside of our conference. Are they moving their schedule? Like, are they going to play all those games? Are they moving them to September?
I've not heard that. As far as I know, I guess they're keeping the schedule.
Yeah, so I don't understand how that works because most of these D1 schools, you're filling your September up with non-conference games. You're playing FBS schools. You're playing somebody from, like Maryland was playing us.
So two things concern me. One, I get why they've not canceled because you still want to have hope. Things are still enough in the future where there's a chance that you could still play. I mean, with some of these other conferences making different types of decisions, I think it's inevitable, but it's pretty likely that we're going to see more cancellations than we are full on. Let's play as normal.
And what is your two?
This whole coronavirus has started to get Guido to use words like precipice.
Yeah, that was huge, wasn't it? I thought that same thing.
Like, I was like, he starts the show with precipice, and I'm getting a dictionary out just to make sure he's used it correctly.
It threw me off a little bit.
I was impressed.
But don't you think Guido and Scoot, tell me what you think too. We're now going to focus and say, oh, okay, so only conference games. Meanwhile, the Ivy League said no sports at all.
And when I go back to the Ivy League was the first one to close everything down
for
in
basketball
March.
As well. Yeah. So don't you think we're just to me, and I'll be the Debbie Downer, I guess, because I said this on a previous show, but had you talked to me in May, I was like, sweet, we're having sports in the fall. Talk to me now. I don't see how that's going to happen. And I think this Ivy League announcement is just the looming cloud over all the other conferences saying.
Not that the smartest people in the world go to Ivy League schools, because there are smart people that go to other schools. However, if you were to take a collection of smart people and try to figure out where they went to school, they probably went to one of the Ivy League schools. And I would venture to guess, this is just speculation, that they're probably going off the guidance of some other very smart people. So, right. I mean, they're not a bunch of dummies.
I will say this, though. The Ivy League, they don't have problems with, like, money coming from ESPN TV deals.
Yeah,
or
that's
Fox
a very
TV
true.
Deal.
Yeah, that's a good point.
However, I have spent money at an Ivy League football game. So I was some of the revenue stream.
You were. You
back in 1996. Back in 1996.
I'm guessing Yale.
It was a Dartmouth Cornell matchup. What a hotly contested Dartmouth Cornell.
Sounds like a battle for the ages.
I believe it was like a homecoming.
Polo? It was polo though.
No, it was football. This was back when what was his name? Jay Fiedler? Was that the quarterback that played for the Dolphins? Yeah. Jay Fiedler went to Dartmouth, and I was there to watch him play.
Wow. Right.
The Cornell Bears or something that they are. I think they're red
the
and black.
Cornell something.
I think they're Bears.
Okay.
Don't you expect the rest of these conferences now, like not everyone has announced, but don't you expect all these conferences? So the Ivy League news aside, let's back up to what Guido was talking about right off the jump. Do we now expect the ACC and the Big 12 and the rest of us, do we expect all these other conferences to say, yep, conference games only? Because they haven't done that yet. But And Guido, we were reading that article about, you know, some people saying like the SEC is kind of its own animal. They haven't said what they're going to do. But don't you, I would expect now all these other conferences to probably close ranks and say, that's what we're going to do too.
I too, like I can't imagine that you don't see these other conferences do the exact same thing and close down to just conference only. I mean, I think if I was a conference commissioner right now, you know, the options I would be looking at is, all right, we've got to try to play as many games as we can in the time that might be allotted, because chances are it doesn't matter what sport it is, by October, by flu season again, it's all going to start getting shut down. We're going to go back into that systematic shutdown that we saw. And so I would be saying, hey, you know what, let's play games that matter more. Let's move, you know, all of our conference games to September and October, and forget about playing these non-conference schedules. The unfortunate part of that is how it, I mean, there are some schools like Maryland and West Virginia. Okay, so Big 10, Big 12 get rid of their conference games, not a big deal. But there are some schools that it does start to hurt on the other end that, you know, need that revenue for, you know, like we talked about one time, like the JMUs and these other, you know, if it's a FCS team or whatever that needs the revenue from playing these non-conference things. The other thing that's super interesting to me about this decision-making process is that unlike the NFL or the NBA or any other professional sports, there's one commissioner that kind of oversees the whole sport, where in the NCAA, you've got Big Ten doing one thing for college football, SEC saying another thing, and Mark Emmert's, you know, somewhere in Indianapolis.
I don't want to get political. Perhaps it mirrors Donald Trump, the president, and the governors of the different states.
Well, it kind of does in a lot of ways, you know, and yeah, not to get political, but you know, at the end of the day, why can't the NCAA step in and say, hey, what, you know what, here's what we need to do? Because the NCAA also gets some of this television revenue, you know, as a whole. It feels like there's no sense of organization to it. And
well,
I know that conference commissioners have, you know, probably weekly or monthly meetings via Zoom or whatever with Mark Emmert and the NCAA. Let's make a decision as a whole and make it cohesive.
And counterintuitive, kind of to Johnson's point, is so if the ACC and the SEC shut down non-conference games, yet trying to keep this virus localized or regionalized, shutting down Georgia Tech or Florida State, you know, those are games that they are non-conference games, but you're actually not traveling. It's just like WVU in Maryland. You're not really traveling all that far out of your region.
So well, and I guess my thought too was a lot of the other conferences, you know, the Big 12 is kind of the odd man out in the fact that they're still a 10-team league. These other conferences, even if they close ranks and only play conference games, they can still fill in a schedule pretty easily. Now, we can too. I'm not saying we can't, but it puts a little more pressure on, pulling a whole schedule together just on conference games and not anything outside your conference.
So if you're Shane Lyons right now, are you trying to fill in that you know, Maryland game? Are you calling Bowling Green? I know that's a name that's been tossed out there. Are you calling a school that got dropped on the other end by the Big Ten to try to play you to fill that Maryland spot right now? Or are you
Yeah, and I think it also, we're talking about the condensed schedule. You know, I know a lot of universities are going to be kicking classes off here like a little bit earlier in August than they normally would, and I think they're trying to wrap everything up, Scoot, by Thanksgiving or even before Thanksgiving. So you might only be, I mean, I don't know what allowances you would make. I'm not saying it has to fit into that, but if you were trying to at least align it somewhat to when the semester's rolling in, then you'd probably only want to play what an 8-9 game slate anyway, right? And that's your conference.
Something else that we've not even talked about yet is, and I think it's a foregone conclusion, but how about bowl games, right?
I don't know how you're gonna have bowl games.
I don't either. But that's one of those things that's not even been mentioned really yet at all. What's the point in having these seasons? Not to say that don't have the season because of the bowl game, but like if you're a bowl organization, those are big time money makers, and they're throwing money all over the place for those things.
Well, I think I had just been. It's a good point for you to bring it up. So I'm glad you brought it up. But I had been running under the assumption, at least in my mind, that they just won't exist this year. That they won't even be a thing.
And we still haven't even gotten to the point where, you know, none of these schools have officially announced that they're going to be playing in front of empty stadiums yet. I mean, you still have the NFL saying, "Hey, we're having full stadiums in September." WVU right now is off by 50% on their season ticket sales. So usually about this time they have 32,000 seats sold. Right now it's being reported by Blue Gold News that there's only 16,000 seats sold for season tickets. So, you know, at some point, when does a school say we got to just cut our losses and shut it down and not spend the money to produce it and, you know, not lose the money to, you know.
Well, and I still, like, I know we just talked about it. I threw it on you guys kind of spur of the moment. But so let's hypothetically say WVU has a unbelievable season. The stars align. It's early in Neil Brown's tenure, but the stars align. And let's say because we don't have those three non-conference games, WVU goes 9-0.
That would be our luck, wouldn't it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We go 9-0.
Texas,
but the bowls have already been a foregone conclusion that they're probably not going to happen. Because I think you've got to make a decision on those bowl games a lot faster, don't you think?
I don't know. I think it. If anything, you probably just, that's like a secondary conversation, and it actually makes me wonder: do you fall back to like pre-BCS stuff where you just come out with a coach's poll or something like that, and you decide who's number one?
I mean, I think this season has an asterisk on it no matter how you try to fit it together at this point now. Too many things are being moved around. Too many players won't play. You know, these schools are still allowing players to opt out, even though many aren't. You know, it'll be interesting to see some decisions that players make. You look at, like, the Stills brothers. You know, they were probably both relying on this year to really help their draft stock by having, you know, really good seasons. Now they have the option to either, you know, if there is a season, they can play and try to be drafted next year. They can opt out and keep a year of eligibility, then play at WVU another year. Or let's say the season is canceled. Does somebody like, you know, Darius still stay around and come back because he's not going to lose his eligibility, come back and play another year? Or does he go into the NFL draft?
I can't see a 22-year-old me would never opt out because, one, I probably think I'm not going to get this virus because that's how I think at 22. Two, I can't run the risk of sitting around while other people's names get thrown out and pass me by. I don't want to become forgotten. And unfortunately, college sports is one of those. It's one of those things where the it guy, the guy that's most talked about, tends to be the one. I mean, before last year, was everyone throwing Joe Burrow out as the Heisman Trophy winner? I mean, we knew he was going to be a quarterback, and he would probably be a pretty decent quarterback. But we didn't know Joe Burrow was going to go crazy like he did. So if Joe Burrow opts out, let's say, Joe Burrow doesn't, he's not the number one draft pick. He's not, you know, so he would have lost out on a lot of money opportunities, a lot of endorsement opportunities. So I don't see.
And you add, and you take another year off of.
And you're older.
His potential NFL earnings.
Right.
Too.
And you're older. Right. And a lot, you know, you're better when you're younger as far as athletic ability. I've not been able to dunk a basketball since I was younger. So that's what I'm basing my knowledge off of.
Well, gentlemen, I think all of these concerns will become a moot point in about 2 to 3 weeks when they simply just say there's no fall sports, as much as I hate to say it.
I think that still opens up a lot of conversations about some specific players and decisions that they make come next April.
No, I totally agree. And I also think it opens up budget discussions for a lot of schools, Guido, like we read with Stanford here recently. So we read what that was earlier this week. Stanford decided, first of all, and when I say this, I want to preface this by saying that I'm not
belittling,
or unsympathetic to these sports, but I am going to have to at least raise an eyebrow. So anyway, Stanford, the article was Stanford cut 11 of 36 varsity sports. First of all, most colleges scoot run what, 21, 22,
something like that.
So they had 36 varsity sports. They cut 11, and those 11 included men's and women's fencing, sailing, squash, synchronized swimming, and now two that I think are huge: men's volleyball and wrestling.
Wrestling is by far the biggest.
That's
huge. And that's, so number one, because I'm going to poke fun at like squash and sailing, but that's a lot of student athletes affected. That's a lot of admin positions affected, coaches affected. So, you know, make no mistake, that sucks. But when I read it, I thought, I texted you guys and I said, can you imagine sailing and squash and synchronized swimming in Morgantown? Can you imagine what that
would be? Let me ask you this question. Do you think, now, if I were to throw another sport into that list, I would say golf could potentially be on that list. Do you think golf was spared because Tiger Woods went to Stanford?
Yeah, I mean, I think golf is spared at Stanford because it's a big sport at Stanford. Like, I mean, that's the thing you got to look at. Think about WVU. You know, what are big, you know, sports that are driving either, you know, not maybe not necessarily direct revenue, but donation revenue, you know, past people that are involved. So you think about WVU. Well, golf's a pretty new sport at WVU. Now, granted, they just spent a ton of money into that facility that they're building. But, you know, swimming, diving, is that something that can survive at WVU? Like, what, where, and I'm with you, Johnson, like, what are the ramifications for some of these, you know, varsity sports?
Yeah, and that's what so all joking aside about what sports that was, it sucks. And it's another reminder that a lot of schools are probably going to be looking at their budgets, especially if the worst happens here in the fall, and they're going to be making those decisions. I have to imagine the answer, Scoot, is yes on things like some of the sports you just mentioned. I have a feeling there's probably a lot of people nervous over the coming, you know, few semesters now of what kind of decisions are going to have to be made. We saw the tweet from Iowa State's athletic director that if they didn't have football, it would be what, a $40-50 million shortfall for them. And I think all told, they were looking at like a $70-80 million shortfall.
I mean, wouldn't you think that's probably about where it is for WVU?
I would assume, yeah, especially because that's probably comparable.
School,
yeah.
Similar size.
I would say, yeah.
I'm going to say this, and I know you're 100% right saying it's a similar size school. Iowa State, comparing them to WVU, makes me want to puke because I feel Iowa State is a, to the average American, a non-existent school. Like,
well,
does it exist? Its mascot is a cyclone that is a bird. Come on.
I would actually almost argue that it would be a bigger loss for WVU because Iowa State has to compete with Iowa for, you know, fans. WVU has,
right.
I mean, Marshall kind of, but like WVU has very
little. No, I totally agree. And I think for the city of Morgantown and just, you know, influx of people coming in for home Saturdays, to me, you know, we've talked about it. That's not anything new that people aren't already kicking around. But that's what I hate is you start to think about the other things that suffer because of all of the things that are associated.
Well, let's try to talk about some happy WVU things, Scoot.
Okay.
Kedrion Johnson. He shows up. He's arrived.
This guy has been tweeting, like, I know his every movement because he's been tweeting almost home, gonna be home. He's been tweeting that for the last 2 weeks, like each day. One more day until I'm home. Like, everything is, he's ready. He's ready to go, rip roaring and ready to go. The question I have for you guys, and a lot of times we get these cryptic messages or tweets or whatever, and sometimes the recruits that are tweeting them or the guys that you're expecting to show up don't show up. So is there like
Tyler Sumter? Hey-o!
Oh, ooh. That's a shot across the bow there. But so is there a recruit that has either you've been excited to see him in uniform or to show up on campus, or is there one that has let you down that never did show up? I think of guys here. I'll give you some examples. I think of guys like Jonathan Hargett, the basketball player.
Yeah, but he did show up.
Right, but he was highly anticipated, right? Because he was a sure. You know, a top flight type recruit. He was a guy that everyone was talking he's going to be a one and done. He's a supreme talent. So he's hotly anticipated.
Yeah.
Now you've got those that show up. Jason Gwaltney was another one.
Yeah, that's who I was going to say from, you know, to me, that's the one that sticks out on the football side, I think. Maybe you remember the year that escapes me. He was Taj Boyd,
He went to Clemson. Mm-hmm.
You know, and he had a there was a Taj Boyd and the receiver. They were going to be the tandem, and then I don't think either one ever made it on campus. Right. Taj Boyd, I think, ended up at Clemson,
right?
Had a career there. That's one I can think
of. Yeah, Taj Boyd.
What about this one, Scoot? Oscar. I feel like Oscar was that was a big one.
Yeah, that was a big one.
And I'll be honest, as a basketball fan, maybe more so than a football fan, when WVU had a McDonald's All-American commit, I'm waiting. Okay, so he's committed.
You're waiting for the other shooter.
Yeah. When does Kentucky swoop in?
Who's going to pick him?
When does Duke swoop in and get him? And he
he does not come to WVU?
How about I'm going to throw this name out there? This is one of Johnson's, probably his favorite recruit of all time, yet he never landed on campus. Tavita Finau.
Yeah, Tavita Finau. I knew you were going to say that.
Whatever happened.
He's kind of like legendary.
He's like the Lene Kukua. He's also Samoan.
He is. Does he exist?
They're both Samoan.
There's like lore around him.
How crazy is it that Manti Te'o had a fake girlfriend as a college guy? Like, it'd be one thing if Manti Te'o,
as a Division I football playing college guy, like we're not talking about like the guy who hangs out down at the corner of the dorm. That
you're
kind of
63.
Sketchy.
You've never been married. Maybe you got a couple of Lene Kukuas in your life, but when you're 20 and you know chiseled like a Greek god, and you know playing probably for the most prominent football program in the world,
NBC every weekend or something,
and you're getting Heisman talk as a linebacker. And you're dating a fake person? And her name is Lene Kukua? Come on, man.
So, Scoot, you look at a guy like Kedrion Johnson, Isaiah Cottrell, these guys that are coming in to play on the team this year with chances that we may not have a basketball season or it may be a really short and late season. How do you think this affects retaining players like that into
I think those are the types that probably would be more likely to go for that if there's a waiver of some kind, right? Because they haven't even really gotten off the ground yet, so they don't want to lose that chance of a year's time to not at least get themselves established. Whereas a player
they could still play that out in Morgantown.
Right,
they
right.
don't have to go somewhere
else. I don't think
else.
They leave.
And where would they go anyway, right? I mean, it's the same situation.
I think on the basketball side, this is, you know, if basketball gets canceled or gets shortened season and you have an option to opt out and not lose eligibility and not have to use a red shirt, on the basketball side, it's a big advantage for a lot of players. On the football side, not as much because I think youth – and, you know, waiting too long to go to the next level to professional football can kind of hinder you. But in basketball,
NFL, not for long, right? So you're
right.
You're already on an expiration date, and typically right. that's like around age 30.
And generally the recruits that we have at WVU on the basketball side of things are recruits that, you know, tend to do better, you know, the Javon Carters, tend to do better the longer they stay in the program.
We don't get right? one-hit wonders. Devin Ebanks.
Not many of them.
When he left, I bet if you were to ask him now, he probably wouldn't change much. But I think most people would say, had he come back for another year or two, it would have helped his NBA potential for sure.
Definitely. Speaking of the basketball team, have you guys seen Coach Huggins lately?
He's rocking a goatee.
I like it.
Oh, it's the hair's a little longer. He's like, it is like evil Huggins is what it looks like. It's like Huggins from another dimension.
It. He kind of looks more stately. I think is the word I want to use.
I don't know if it'd be more stately. He kind of looks more like the dude from the Big Lebowski is what he's starting to look like.
He does have a little bit of that.
I think he should keep it, though. I think he should keep it.
I think it's because he doesn't tuck his shirts.
I like this Huggs. I like this. I think if we had, like, maybe if he was, like, on the side long, if he went with, like, the Rob Ryan, like, you know, Big Lebowski
flow,
look.
The long flow out the back, kind of like do you ever watch Deadliest Catch? Kind of like a Wild Bill Rakowski.
Yes. Wild Bill.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a Wild Bill look.
I like it. I like this new look for Huggins. This could be a different look on the sidelines. I kind of feel like it could be a good look.
Even
for
post
him.
COVID, I think he should roll with it.
I think he should too. I think
I feel like it fits the stool better.
Well, listen, let's take a quick break, guys. We'll come back. We'll do a little bit of Bluff the Fluffs, everybody's favorite quiz show on a West Virginia University podcast. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Vortech Knives is a West Virginia owned and operated company specializing in high quality steel, fast opening, everyday carrying knives. If you go to VortechKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortech, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com, a West Virginia owned and operated company specializing in fast opening, high quality, everyday carry knives. Vortech Knives.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Don't forget, find us on the social media. You can find us on Facebook, just type in Got Your Ears On. You can get us on Instagram and Twitter at Got Your Ears. Check us out, find us, like us, and subscribe. So, guys, it's time for everybody's favorite podcast game show on a West Virginia podcast. It's time for Bluff the Fluffs, boys. How we doing? We excited?
Boom.
I feel you've really narrowed down the demographic that defines us to be that to
very
be their
specific
favorite.
Description.
Listen, I think we got an award for like being the best game show on a
podcast.
West Virginia University sports-based podcast.
Okay.
I like it. I'll take it.
I'm holding it right here. So Scoot, last week you won the ACC challenge.
I believe I'm streaking.
You are on a streak. So you were only, it was 5-1.
Yes.
Right.
That is
That's
correct.
What it was.
That's correct.
And then you have won
three in a row.
So now it's five games to four. Johnson, how does that make you feel?
I mean, I feel like I'm due. I feel like I'm due. Last week, ACC is a bad topic. You threw me a curveball on a Johnny Unitas question. I walked away sour. Scoot over congratulated himself as he is wont to do. So I feel like I'm coming in this week with a little bit more pep in my step, a little more juice for this round.
Did it drive you a little crazy that through the whole Bluff the Fluffs last week that Scoot chewed on ice the whole time?
I feel like it was a kind of like a tactic to kind of throw me off.
Gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Gamesmanship. Well, listen, guys. So this week we have a new topic. So it's not about the ACC. But thanks to mcube.net, I got some great stats on West Virginia University football in non-conference series games. So this week we're doing a quiz on WVU non-conference games. And I'll just preface it by saying, keep in mind that this week when we talk about conference, like if you think about when I say, hey, how many games did they win in this conference or that conference? Take like Virginia Tech. Our record with Virginia Tech in the Big East was 5-8. Now that Virginia Tech's in the ACC, it's 0-3. And then when we were both independents, it was 13 8-1. So it's based on when the team was in the conference.
Okay.
Now, right. This is important because I believe that was the sticking point for Johnson last week. He had some issues with the Louisville Cardinals being Louisville or not, ACC or not. So he is
Did you say Louisville?
I did say Louisville. I said Louisville.
Not Louisville.
I'm saying Louisville because that's what people in the Northeast
like,
say.
I feel like I'm a Louisville. I feel I'm a Louisville. Louisville.
Listen, Louisville. You come from the Northeast, you call it Louisville.
Yeah, I feel like I'm
Louisville
a Louisville.
Louisville Cardinal. Louisville. I root for the Louisville Cardinals. That's my team.
All right. Well, listen, guys, as always, before we started, we had a complete and total random flip of the coin, and... Johnson, you get to go first this week.
All right, let's do this.
Scoot won last week.
He loves the Louisville Cardinals.
All right, Johnson. First question is to you.
Okay.
All time, what SEC school has WVU played the most?
Played the most. Is this multiple choice?
All of them are multiple choice tonight. So here's your options. You've got Alabama, LSU, Kentucky, or Florida?
I'm going to go with the Florida Gators.
That was super loud tonight for some reason. I'm sorry. That's incorrect. It was not the Florida Gators.
It was exceptionally wrong. That's why it was louder.
It was exceptionally
I feel like it was extra wrong with that buzzer.
Very, very wrong. Scoot, to you, it's not Florida, so is it Alabama, LSU, or Kentucky?
I mean, I think this is a layup. I got to go Kentucky.
That's correct. For the steal and 10 points, it is Kentucky. We have played Kentucky 14 times, I think. So that is...
When's the last time, though? Because I feel like we've never...
It's been a while. So LSU was Kentucky. The last SEC school. I think it was the 90s. You can go to mcube.net to get the answers, but not until after this is over, guys.
So or after they sponsor us.
All right, Scoot, question is to you. You're leading 10 to nothing.
Trying to get a plug out there. Come on.
I don't think they're the kind of website that was.
Papa's got to pay the bills. Come on, MQ.
It was a really great site. I'd never seen it before. It's pretty awesome statistics. Okay, West Virginia. This question's for you.
Yeah.
What is WVU's all-time winning percentage against ACC teams? Is it 42%, 67%, 48%, or 51%? All-time winning percentage against the ACC.
I think we've done pretty well. I'm going to go with 51%.
Scooty is on a roll. That is correct. 51%. I thought that was pretty impressive. I thought we'd be less than 50%.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised at that.
Yeah. Scoots up 15-0. Johnson, back to you. WVU has only lost once, one time. WVU has only lost once to a MAC team. What team in the MAC was it? Marshall, Miami of Ohio, Ohio University, or Bowling Green?
That's going to be Miami of Ohio.
That's incorrect. We have tied Miami of Ohio. In 1992, we tied them 29-29, but we did not lose to them. Scooty, is it Marshall, Ohio University, or Bowling Green?
I'm going to go with Marshall on that one.
Well, that's just a dumb answer. Yeah, everybody knows it's not
give
Marshall.
Give me a break.
It was Ohio University, and it was in 1924. That was the only time.
Oh, I love when Guido does this. That was back
that's
when
what I was assuming.
You know, Toots McGee was coaching us or whatever.
Greasy Neal was coaching back then, and
Toots McGee. He had such a career.
So there you go. All right, Scoot, back to you. You still got the lead, 15-0. And the question is to you: what Pac-12 team has WVU played the most? Is it Arizona State, California, Stanford, or Utah?
I'm going to go with Utah.
That's incorrect. Damn. Johnson, for 10 points in the steal. Arizona State, California, or Stanford?
I would have gone with Scoot's guess. Man, this is tough. So I'm torn between California and Arizona State. I think I'm going to go with Arizona State.
You should have gone with California. We played them four times. Arizona State, we've only played two times. All right, so we're still in the same spot. Not a lot of correct answers tonight, boys. 15-0, Scoot still in the league. Question to you, Johnson. Prior to joining in 2012, the Big 12, how many games had WVU played against Big 12 teams prior to 2012 when we joined the conference? Was it 33, 24, 16, or 7?
Wow, this is another tough one. I'm just trying to think really quickly of like ones I remember. I think it's a very low number, Guido. I think I'm actually going to go with 7.
All right, Scoot, for the steal, 33, 24, or 16?
I am going to go, it's not the big number. So I'm going to go with, I'm going to go 16.
That's correct. 16 is the right answer, Scoot. So you take a commanding lead now. 25-0. Not looking great for you, Johnson. Got to tell you. Got to just say. I don't know how you're feeling. Probably not good.
Well, like that one I eliminated so that it goes down to the obvious answer for Scoot. I always have a knack of like eliminating gets the steals.
All right, Scoot, you can pretty much put it away with this, but we'll still do Final Bluff because I found the question. But this question is to you, Scooty. WVU was not in a conference, and they were independents from the late 60s to 1990 when they joined the Big East in 1991. And they've been in a conference ever since. How many independent teams has WVU played since they joined the Big East and now the Big 12? Is it 9, 14, 22, or 3?
I am going to go with a very small. I'm going to go with 3.
That's incorrect. Johnson, to you, since joining the Big East in 91, since 1991, how many independent teams have WVU played? 9, 14, or 22?
So this is schools, not games.
This is games. This is games.
Games. I'm going to go 14.
That is correct. 14 games. They played BYU, I think, two times in there. If you remember correctly, the first and second year that we were in the Big East, we kept like three of those independent teams. Penn State was independent at the time. Yeah, Notre Dame, we still played. We've played other teams that were independent at the time. We played them. Louisville was independent for a good a bit.
So I think like Navy would have been in there probably, right?
Yep. Louisiana Tech was before they joined Conference USA. South Carolina was independent at one point in the 90s when we played them. So, yeah, since 2000, I think it's only like three. I think it's like the BYU and twice and somebody else. But back in the 90s, there were still a lot of independent teams.
Yeah.
All right, so Johnson is trying to make a comeback. So Scoot still has the lead, 25-10, but we're on Final Bluff, boys, worth 25 points this question. As always, I ask you guys, give us a buzzer sound before so you can ring in for this question. Scoot, what's your buzzer this week?
Ramps.
Keeping with the Ramps.
I got to go with Ramps because
it's been a proven winner. Ever since you switched to the Ramps.
I'm on a streak. I've ruined his mojo.
You have to say it that way too.
Ramps.
Yeah.
And Johnson, your buzzer this week?
Goatee.
Goatee for Huggins.
For Huggins
and the facial hair.
Yes. Yeah,
I like it. All right. So Final Bluff here, guys. Get your buzzers ready. Do not buzz in until after I read all of the options. There's quite a bit tonight for this ginormous multiple choice question that we have right here to finish everything off. All right, you ready? Here we go. What three conferences have never had a team that has beaten WVU while playing them in the non-conference game schedule? There's three conferences that has never beaten WVU. All right, here we go. Is it one of these three? I got a bunch of them here for you. Mountain West, MAC, Conference USA, Sun Belt, Southwest, the WAC, Pac-12, and the AAC, the American Athletic Conference.
Gramps.
Oh, I'm giving it to Johnson. Johnson buzzed in first. So you got to name the three conferences, Johnson, and see if you can get them. Three conferences that have never beaten WVU.
Give me some choices not to choose.
Wow, this is tough, Scoot. I'm gonna go with the you said the whack was in there.
Yeah, the whack's in there. Is that one of your choices?
That's one of my choices.
All right, you're out.
God, that's such a stupid question. Finds his dumbest questions.
So
for
I
them.
Am gonna go with.
Here's 42 conferences. Pick three that are.
I mean.
So I am gonna go with the Mountain West.
Okay, that's one.
Can I get a buzzer? Can I get a clap?
No, you don't get clapped. You
no. Okay.
No.
I'm gonna go with the Southwest.
And back to you, Johnson. So we've taken out. We know Mountain West is one of them, so you only have to do two, Johnson.
You're welcome.
So it's down to 41 conferences to choose from.
So you've taken out a couple. So what do you got, Johnson?
All right. So what Scoot said?
Scoot said the Mountain West. Yep.
That was going to be my second choice earlier. So all right. So Mountain West.
Do you need me to read them off again?
No, I'm just sitting here thinking. Okay, so Mountain West, I think you said Sun Belt.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've lost anyone there. And then was ECU in Conference USA when they beat us on that one trip to Greenville? So let's not say that. Let's go with...
Riveting Radio.
Let's go with the AAC.
That's correct. Johnson comes back with the win at 25 points right there to give him 35 total and beat Scoot. It was the Mountain West, the Sun Belt, and the AAC. Three conferences that have never beaten us.
That was all over the place.
I should get half credit.
No, well, you don't get. I'll give you 1 point. So, Johnson, you won 34 to 26. Congratulations. Point goes back to Scoot. Johnson continues his lead, 6 bluff your fluffs to 4. Scoot, how do you feel on all this?
I feel I had a dominant performance. I came hot out of the gate.
Long pause.
Hot out of the gate. I feel like I want to thank all the people that helped me get to where I'm at. I'd like to
this
thank...
sounds like a man who's saying the streak's over. Like
I'd like to thank my friends at 3M or M Cubed or whatever the name of this website was that got us the questions. They did a great job.
I think you should thank the people of Corridor Ramp.
I'd like to thank all of the ramp pickers in West Virginia. You people have helped West Virginians stay
rampy,
smelly, and
stanky.
And well-fed.
And they inspired your buzzer. That's where I was going. But all that other stuff that you said.
And they did inspire my buzzer.
Yeah. Is the Rams buzzer retired? You'll have to listen next week to find out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe.
You have to tune in next week to find out, folks. So listen, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with everybody's favorite news segment on a West Virginia University sports podcast. Segment I like to call, I Can't Believe My Ears. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. On Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia owned and operated company that specializes in heavy duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives. And when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for TOB Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Guido along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, check out our website, gotyourearson.com. Johnson, it's kind of like the hub. You can find everything we talk about every week, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so after the show, we'll post the latest show notes. So if we talk about something and you're like, those guys were making that up, you can go there and find the links to everything we talk about. And you can find the link to play the show right in the browser, and as well as all the links to find it in all the other places Guido has us posted at. So check it out.
Yeah, you can even go back, see old shows, all that kind of stuff. So check it out, gotyourearson.com. Well, boys, Scoot, it's time for what I like to call I Can't Believe My Ears. What do you got for us this week?
Okay, the segment's going to take us across the seas to England. Okay.
Ooh,
and
okay.
You guys both look like historians. If I
hello,
Scoot, you've known to have a Cockney accent every now and then.
That's right, mate.
I was gonna say, are you gonna read this whole thing in an English accent?
I could try to do this, but I'm gonna alienate most of our listeners, especially those overseas.
What's the new guy from England that plays on WVU?
Jairo Favaris.
No,
this guy, he's from Amsterdam, I believe. I believe he's Dutch. But anyway, here's a story. In the United Kingdom, there was a guy who was recently sentenced to jail for 4 years.
Okay, that's terrible.
Okay. It happened. Okay.
That's terrible.
Probably did something horrible.
What was he sentenced to jail for? Well, he broke in and tried to steal the Magna Carta.
Okay.
He brought a hammer with him.
Right.
He went into the restroom, I guess.
As you would.
He used a hammer. He smashed. Yes.
Where do we store the Magna Carta?
It's in the Salisbury Cathedral in England.
Okay. All right.
So he went into the bathroom and
pulled a hammer out. And then he went over to the security case holding the Magna Carta and attempted to break the glass.
Wow.
Actually, he failed to because he was tackled by tourists. And then he ran off.
Holy cow.
I believe he was tackled again by visitors and staff members.
I wonder what the plan was there. Just a true smash and grab, I guess, right? Like I want that and I'm just...
I would like me bloody document. I'm going to run off with it.
Now, Scoot, you're a bit of a history buff. You
could say that. You could say
you
that.
Like history.
I have a degree in it, so yes.
You have a degree. What would be the value of taking the Magna Carta? Like, what do you steal? So let's just pretend that you're this guy. Like, what are you doing? Like, but
yeah.
I understand it's priceless, but like, what are you going to do with it? Like, what's the value of it to you?
I think it goes in your man cave.
Yeah.
I think it goes up in the man cave.
Are you putting some like 3M command strips on the back of it and like slapping it up on your wall, maybe?
I think you do that, maybe. Yeah.
Your buddies come over to your basement pub and see the Magna Carta.
Like, hey,
look,
boys,
guys,
check this out.
You're like, yeah, sure, that's the real Magna Carta.
Apparently, some of the tourists that helped tackle this guy were from Louisiana.
As you would be.
So it does have an American theme. They were sightseeing.
Well, you're welcome, England.
She saw a man coming out of the disabled person's bathroom with a hammer, and she tried to alert some people.
Wait, did you say out of the disabled person's
That's
bathroom?
That's what they say. He went into the disabled person's.
Why is that a necessary qualifier? That seems like an odd qualifier.
I don't know why they would put that in there. I'm not sure.
I mean, is there maybe there's just more room when you're in the handicapped bathroom to take the hammer out of your pants?
I mean,
the
hammer's not... how big is this hammer? You know what I mean?
Is it a ball peen? I don't know. Is it a sledge?
I'm still trying to figure out, are you putting it on... Was he going to put it like on eBay and try to sell it? Like, real Magna Carta...
Bid with confidence.
Bid with confidence.
Well,
hammer included.
The buy it now price is $45 bazillion, but bids start at $1.92.
I recently watched Long Gone, the 30 for 30 Long Gone or Summer, you know, Long Gone Summer or whatever it was with the home run.
Right.
And the guy that bought, I think, what was it, the 70th home run ball? It was either number 70 or he bought 62. I can't remember which one he bought. He paid $2 million for it. So, and that's a baseball. So Magna Carta, which is like one of the, I would put it in the, you know, it's in the same ballpark, no pun intended, as the Declaration of Independence, perhaps as Thomas Paine's Common Sense.
Well, and it's often thought as one of those documents that laid the groundwork of documents like that.
For democracy, for democratic governments.
So that's
right.
Okay, but wait. So, okay, you're a baseball fan, so you buy the Mark McGuire or the Sammy Sosa ball. Like,
yes.
You buy the baseball, and you're going to put it on your shelf, and you'll be like, check out my cool baseball when all your buddies come over. What do you do? I mean, are you like?
Maybe this guy was a King James fan. I don't know. Maybe he was.
Is he a history? Is he like a history professor? That's bringing all of his history professor buddies over.
His attorney
like knocking some back.
His attorney was trying to say that he was in a car accident in '91, which affected his gave him brain damage, leading him to be the subject of a court protected order, which I guess in turn makes you want to steal historical documents. It's got a feel of maybe National Treasure.
Yeah, when you
Nicolas Cage.
Is it maybe when they do the make of this, Nicolas Cage will be in the movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I can see
do
that.
Do you do a Nicolas Cage impression, Scoot? I feel like
I don't know. He's a really bad actor. It's amazing how many roles Nicolas Cage has been in. Due to his acting ability, I lump Nicolas Cage right there with Keanu Reeves. I find them to both be very mediocre actors.
Yeah, I don't know, Scooty. Like, I think if I had the Magna Carta, I'm not sure that it's something I'd brag about. I don't think I'd be like, hey guys, come check out my Magna Carta.
I mean, why else do you take it?
Yeah, who's gonna believe you?
They're gonna be like, that's not a real Magna Carta.
Yeah, come on,
you don't really have the Magna Carta. Did you see your Bill of Rights, let's see your U.S. Constitution.
Not to mention, don't you think someone would make it known that the actual Magna Carta was now missing? So if you were the one like, hey, it's Magna Carta right there on my wall or whatever, it's going to be a problem.
Right. I think I'd much rather have the Mark McGuire baseball.
I'll go with that. I don't know that there's any document. I mean, because like you said, you're not going to be able to sell it. So is there any document that you would really want to have? I mean, it's a piece of paper. If you can't sell it or if it doesn't have that kind of value, I suppose you can't show it off.
I can name one. I can name one document that I would pay a lot of money for, Stu.
Okay.
It doesn't even have to be original. It could be a copy of the document.
Okay. What do you got?
I'm intrigued.
All I probably have to do is go to a northwestern Virginia town. Town hall and get a copy of it to get a copy of Johnson's birth certificate that I would then hang on my wall behind me from being born.
That's a low blow.
That's a low blow, but I'd pay the $1.50 I'd probably have to get a copy of it from the
very much like the Magna Carta.
They are very similar. You could probably sell it on eBay.
I probably could. I would buy it if it came up on eBay. Johnson, that's what you might want to do. Make some extra money.
What would the buy it now price be on Johnson's birth certificate?
Like put $10 up there, Johnson. I'd probably bid $10.
I'd go 11.
Who does that? Who does that though?
I would go 11.
You could have like a bidding war. You could have a bidding war between me and Scooty
for Johnson's birth certificate.
That's absurd.
Because what's absurd about it is you can get a copy and so can I. We could just keep getting copies. We don't need to actually buy the one that you've got. There's no reason we have to buy that one.
You're like, yeah, I got six copies of this thing.
Six copies. We could number them. You could number them though. Like, you know how like when you buy number one?
Like 86 Donruss. Be like 86 Donruss, like, you know, Billy Ripken or something, like, you know, oh, this is the one where he accidentally was like holding the cat when he
I think this is a
whatever.
Merch opportunity for us here on our website. Like originals. What if you would you autograph one?
Oh, I think we need t-shirts. T-shirts made with Johnson's birth certificate and his autograph on.
Or him yelling, "I'm West Virginia."
Howling at the moon.
Or just like replicas of the birth certificate. Just autograph them. We put that on the website.
Right.
I mean, are you comfortable with that?
No.
I mean, we can cross off.
You'll get 50% of the proceeds.
That's very equitable.
What if that was the highest? Like that was like the largest grossing item we had on our website.
That'd be great. Everybody wants that Johnson birth certificate.
You know what I'd like? I'd like a little replica Johnson birth certificate keychain.
What if we got like bobbleheads made of Johnson holding his birth certificate
and,
from Winchester,
and then
Virginia.
Going like this, and then going shaking my head,
shaking
no.
his head no.
Like or, instead or, of the up and down, it would be shaking my head no.
West Virginia in one hand, Virginia in the other, and it's the bobblehead, and he's kind of like back and forth, left, right, left, right, left, right.
And then I'd have a hat on instead of a baseball hat. It would be the state of Connecticut would be on my head because. Frying pan.
That's a good
upside down.
And it would be a A Mike Fryer's goatee.
Yes. And a Mike Fryer's, yeah.
Monkey tail goatee.
Yes.
That is horrific.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Well, listen, let's wrap it up this week. Don't forget, look for us on social media at Got Your Ears On Instagram and Twitter. Check out our website, gotyourearson.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, tell your friends, listen, like, and subscribe. We'll be back next week with another fun show, and we'll try not to make fun of Johnson at all, and maybe Scoot can win another Bluff the Fluffs to get back in the game. So thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Everybody have a great one. You've been listening to Got Your Ears On.